And the passage that I want you to look at is Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. And you'll find that in the few Bibles, I'm sure. Probably before I do. But if you don't, it's on page 205. And it reads, before him no creature is hidden, but all are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. This is a peculiar time in my life, perhaps in Fran and I, as we're here today, and we were in Fiji last Sunday, and we were in Australia the Sunday before that, and in New Zealand the month before that, and we've actually been to Vancouver this week for a short visit too. So we haven't got around us the support and encouragement that comes from the regular responsibilities of our family and of our job in the parish in Vancouver. And this verse has, I think, taken hold of me in a particular way, and I want to share something of the way in which it has taken hold of me, that nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. That's the New International Version, which some of you may recognize. Coming from Vancouver, I noticed in the paper this morning that there is a wonderful two-page color advertisement for coming to Canada. And it says, where else can you ski in the morning and play golf in the afternoon? But then the rector of the parish told me that if the weather goes the way it's supposed to, it would be possible to play golf this morning and ski this afternoon. So it's perhaps not that different, but in Vancouver we're having Expo 86 and we're expecting all of you to come. I rather think we hope you'll come with your pockets bulging with money too, and that you'll leave it there. So I'm a little embarrassed about endorsing that invitation. This passage then that we're looking at, everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And the way this has taken hold of me in my life, and I'd like to take hold of it in terms of understanding it, and I guess I would like you to be able to reach out and take hold of this verse too. So as you read it with your minds, I hope you will be seeking to take hold of it. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Success in our lives is often based on the skill with which we can maintain deceptions. That is, we create them and then we maintain them. And if we get away with maintaining them, we are successful. And if we fail to maintain them, our life becomes something of a disaster. There was a man who was written up in the paper yesterday morning. I think he had defrauded his company of something like 13 million pounds, which is a considerable accomplishment. But he had been caught and he was sentenced to 14 years in jail. And I would like to suggest to you that he's probably enormously relieved today that at last his deception has been smashed. And whatever else he may have to do for the next 14 years, he doesn't have to do what he has been doing for many years now, and that is maintaining the deception. Can you imagine the burden of it? Every colleague that he worked with, the deception he would have to create before the eyes of his own children, the deception he would have to maintain before his wife, before his social grouping, that he would have to maintain that deception all the time. Now, he's rather a big leaguer at that. He's doing it in the big leagues. Most of us have a more modest pattern of deception that we try to maintain. And it's very difficult. Very difficult to maintain. And we maintain those deceptions at great cost. So it becomes very helpful to us when we come up against one with whom we can't maintain the deception any longer. Everything is uncovered. Everything is laid bare before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And I would suggest, even if that led to our condemnation and to our failure and dissolution almost, it would still be something of a relief to have come to the point where at last people knew, and at last I would know that I was known, and that there was no secret of my heart, there was no part of my life which was not completely known to God and laid bare before him. You will see that I would be free then from deception, from subterfuge, and from discipline, dishonesty, which so often our lives become burdened with. And what a difference there is between a life that struggles to maintain a deception and a life which is laid bare before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. If you look at the verse before, you will see how this process is worked out, how we are laid bare, how all the subterfuge and all the deceit is stripped away, scraped down, so there's nothing left to hide behind. And that is by the word of God, which is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword, and it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And so that stripping away of all the deceit is through the instrumentality of the Word of God. And so as we encounter the Word of God, as the Word of God encounters us in the circumstances of our lives and strips away all the deceit so that there is nothing hidden, we are laid bare before the eyes of him with whom we have to do by the word of God. Then we find ourselves, through the instrumentality of that word, stripped bare, totally vulnerable, and totally powerless before God. And what a wonderful place that is to be. And how hard it is to come to that place. I mean, I don't want to overdo this poor man who's defrauded his company of millions, but he obviously couldn't tell anybody, and the thing got worse and worse, and his compulsive nature demanded that he go on and on with the deception, as ours does, and nobody will come in and help us, and even if there was somebody whom we wanted to tell the truth to, we knew that it would be such a burden to them that we couldn't do it, and so for their sake we maintain the deception, and it would be so hurtful to others that we couldn't do it, so for their sake we maintain the deception, and finally we come to that place where, by the instrumentality of the Word of God, we are stripped bare, totally vulnerable, and totally powerless. It's a fearful place to be, because we don't know quite what happens at that point. There's no way we can precondition it. I when I decided that, when Fran and I decided we were going on our world travels, I saw a little form from the American Express Company saying that they would be glad to issue a credit card to me if I would just fill out this information and send it to them. And so I filled out the information and sent it to them. And they wrote back a letter and said, I'm sorry. But for reasons we're not prepared to divulge, we can't issue you a credit card at this time. That's the fear we have. If we tell everybody what our situation really is, that we will end up in trouble. And so it would have been better if I'd never got in touch with them. So well, there they are. And what happens when we come to that place in our lives where we are stripped bare and vulnerable? Do you know, the interesting thing about this verse, and this is almost an aside that I want you to think about as well, that is the way that we come to God. Many people who don't believe in God don't believe in Him because they consider Him to be an impenetrable mystery, totally invulnerable to the needs of man, and unwilling to give any account of the way He chooses to run the world. And so they reject Him, and you can read of these rejections all the time. People who have rejected God because He is a mystery that is hidden from them. He is not vulnerable in the way that we as humans are vulnerable. And He doesn't seem to be prepared to give account of who He is. But as you trace through the story of Holy Week, in this Palm Sunday through Good Friday and Easter Sunday, it seems to me that there is a very clear declaration by God, this is who I am. There is nothing hidden. As Christ is naked, stripped, nailed to the cross, He is totally vulnerable. And as Christ is raised from the dead, God gives the account of how He is going to deal with a sinful world. So there's a kind of coming together of us, stripped, naked, vulnerable, and powerless, with a God who is stripped, naked, vulnerable, and powerless. That's why I think it's a wonderful verse. And it's a wonderful place to be, that God reveals Himself to our minds and hearts, is stripped naked and hung on a cross, and gives account. But the great objection to this verse is that we are so vulnerable and we are so powerless. And what account can I give finally if I have been, in a sense, laid open to the gaze of a holy and just God? What account can I give? The other night when we first arrived here, Fran and I went for a walk down Bank Street through the wonderful buildings. I guess it was Thread and Needle Street or something very exotic sounding like that. And there in the midst of it, we saw a man sitting on a chair. I mean, he was a statue. a very imposing figure indeed. And I thought, I must surely have heard of him. I'll go and see what his name is. And it turned out to be Mr. Peabody, whom, in fact, I have never heard of. But he somehow could sit among the banks of this great city and expect that he would be acknowledged as being of some import, which no doubt he is and or was. But we don't stand before God in that way. We stand stripped, naked, vulnerable, and powerless. And that's the most enviable situation. It would be of infinitely more worth than that your body should be sculpted in bronze and you should be put among the citizens of such a great city as one worthy of honor and recognition. A far more wonderful place to be is that other place, stripped, naked, vulnerable, powerless, having to give account for who we are. Well, I want just to conclude by pointing to you where it goes. We start in the sequence of these verses with the Word of God and the function it has in stripping us bare and leaving us so that nothing is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. And then you see, as the chapter finishes, it says, we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold firmly to the faith. Approach the throne of grace with confidence. You see, the wonderful thing about this position is that that is the position in which you find yourself. And it's the position from which Christ, our great high priest, is able to do with us what He alone can do. In other words, the tremendous advantage of that position in which you find yourself in verse 13 is that Christ in verse 14 and following is able to do His high priestly work. He takes up the business of accounting for you before the throne of God. You have no way by which you could account for yourself. He makes it His business to account for you. And so, being stripped and humiliated and powerless and weak, in a sense, before the gaze of a just and holy God, being in that position is the position in which Christ can then do for you His high priestly work, so that it is in His name and because of Him alone that you can approach the throne of grace with confidence and receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And that's all I want to share with you this morning, is that you might so happily find yourself in that place where you are utterly dependent upon that work which Christ, in His high priestly office, must do for you, because you can't do it for yourself. I spoke of the man who was in prison, and the freedom he has from the burden of his years of deception. And so too, for us, it's a tremendous freedom to come to this place where we are before the gaze of a just and holy God, stripped, vulnerable, naked, and powerless. It's a wonderful place to be, because our hearts can fill with praise and thanksgiving to Him who has chosen to give account for us before God, to render, as it were, our account. May God grant that all of us know that in a more profound way, and that the reality of it may take hold of us and take hold of our lives. as we take hold of the teaching of this scripture. Amen.